Thank you this morning. How great and wonderful you are, Lord God. We thank you for your wonderful love and the opportunity that we can come together this morning. We pray, Father, as we come to speak, not me, but you speak your word to your people, God, and let your word go forth and you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with our topic on building character. And we've been talking about kingdoms, principles, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And today we're going to be looking at oath and retaliation. Now the picture you're looking at up there when I traveled to Israel, that's where Jesus taught the Beatitude, the Sermon on the Mount. So those are folks that we all went together, were sitting there, and I took that picture. So it's probably Peter was sitting on one of the rocks and the other disciples, but that was the spot where Jesus taught the disciples the Sermon on the Mount. So today we're going to be looking at oath and retaliation from Matthew chapter 5, 33 to 42. And for our eternal truth, what we want as we go through God's word this morning or this afternoon is knowing that God sees our words, every word that we speak that comes out of our mouth, God sees it in our actions. So for us, we must speak truthfully instead of falsely. It's hard, right? And then act graciously instead of, I'm going to pay back. Right? And we're going to look at why Jesus had his interpretation from that of the religious leaders. So I was kind of going through and I kind of think about oath. You know, in our justice system, if you went to court, you got to swear an oath, right? Place your hands on the Bible and repeat after the judge or whoever and say, you are speaking the truth and what? Nothing but the truth. So what? Help me, God. So, oath is to kind of invoke God or invoke some sacred object in order to strengthen a statement or strengthen a promise. So you make oath to strengthen your promise or the statement that you are making. And that was the problem Jesus had with the religious leader, as we're going to see today in our passage that was read beautifully by our brother Greg. So we want to look at oath, but in order to do justice to this passage from Matthew chapter 5, we have to go back to the Old Testament. Because oath definitely started in the New Testament. It originated from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God's people were warned to keep vows, to keep oaths. They were warned not to misuse the name of God, not to swear falsely by God's name, not to break your word. I have a friend, he said, oh, this guy lies so much that if he tells you it's raining outside, make sure you come outside and look to know that it's raining before you leave. So I'm like, wow, that means he lies. There's no truth in his mouth. But God is saying not to break your word and not to be slow paying your vow. So let's look at a couple of the scriptures from the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, God told the children of Israel, mind you, the children of Israel have spent over 400 years in Egypt. And now God has brought them out of Egypt, taking them to the promised land. God telling them what to do and what not to do. And so in there he said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of us, I swear to God. Right? He said, say that, I swear to God, I didn't do it. And he said, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. He said, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Numbers chapter 30 says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord, those of you who make vows, Lord, please do. You know, I used to tell my congregation, I said, God, don't make vows to God. Don't, if you make your vow, don't say, God, if you do this for me, I will serve you the rest of my life. God don't need that vow, because guess what? It's your responsibility to serve me. That's what he created you for. So don't go saying that, God, if you solve the problem, I will serve you the rest of my life. No, take that out of your vow, because God created you to serve him. So don't make a vow, say, I'm going to serve you if you do X, Y, Z for me. Amen? Amen? But look what God says. He says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Many times we break our vows. We break our oath. Our promise to God. And I'm like, God just be looking down and saying, who? What is wrong with these people? I look at Deuteronomy chapter 23. He said, when you make a vow to the Lord, your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin to you. I know about that. When I read this part, I'm like, whoo. Sometimes we read through the Bible, and there are certain things we see we have not seen before, but it kind of rings bell that I got to take a break and check and see where am I with God. So, God gave the children of Israel warning to keep vows. If they make vows, what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. So in essence, that vows originated from the Old Testament when God dealt with his children. And we want to, Sarah, can you help me go to the next slide? As we look at vows, we want to go back to the New Testament. As we serve God, to invoke God or to invoke some sacred object. That's why we make vow. Now, when coming to the New Testament, there was abuse of oath taking. So Christ has to address this issue. The folks were dishonestly making vow and not keeping the vow. So Christ has been correcting the misinterpretation of these vows in the New Testament. Like we say in the Old Testament, God didn't forbid taking oaths. In fact, he encouraged them. God, and the reason why God permitted oaths, because God knew it was man's natural tendency of being a liar. Oh, you agree with me with that? It's true, where? It's not in the book of, in the Garden of Eden, right? Yeah. Adam and Eve, when they separate Cain to Eve, say, the Lord, did the Lord tell you not to eat? Say, no, you will not die. You will live. Your eyes will be open. And what they eat did, she ate of the fruit. Adam, who should have been there, what did he do? He ate. And when God came, what did he say? The woman you gave me. So it all originated from Adam and Eve coming. So God knew. God knew that mankind could not keep the word, could not stay obedient to him. So God had to allow them to take oath in order to set them aside from other nations around them. So when they speak, they are speaking truthfully. And know that they are a different set of people. They're not just mixed with these people in around them. So why did Christ came and he tried to correct the misinterpretation of these vows. It was the same vow from the Old Testament, But the religious leader had their own interpretation of this vow. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 37, Jesus says quite a lot of things that we want to look at. First is, if we read that passage, we want to understand that in verse 33 to 36, God witnessed everything you say. Whatever you say should be true and good. And we're going to see how the Pharisees misinterpreted the oath that God talked about in the Old Testament. So let's go to God witnessed everything. Look, he said, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I said to you, Jesus said that this is what was said in the Old Testament. This is what was agreed upon in the Old Testament. That you shall not swear falsely. Right? But Jesus said, look, he said, but I said to you, do not swear. Do not swear at all. Have you ever read that part in the scripture? Because many times I swear I didn't do it. I swear to God. What's the word? Cross my finger, close my eyes. Right? We say that to make our statement true. But Jesus said, you don't need to say that. If your yes is yes, let it remain yes. If you're truthful, say it. Don't add nothing to it. Let your word be truthful. Let it be a guarantee that others, you don't have to go swearing. And that's why the religious leader did. You see, listen. The Sermon on the Mount is not a description of how to get saved, church. It's how to live once you get saved. And that's why Jesus, how you act, how should you behave. And the idea is that our lives should have an imprint on others. Amen. What we say should have an imprint on others. You know when you're doing laundry, right? And you mix the colored clothes with the white clothes and what have you. And when you dry them up, you go look at your nice shirt, it all steamed with different colors. You say, the clothes should run out of it. No. All of your clothes get messed up with different colors, right? Yes. And as Christians, that's how we should be. We should have an imprint on the life of others around us through what we do, what we say. Amen. We don't have to swear to make it true, but we should have an imprint on others through our words. That's what Jesus is saying here. Remember Christ is saying, Pastor Kerry preached last night, he said, committing adultery physically is not only sin, but watch out for the heart. If you look at a woman or a man in your heart, lust for it, you sin. Amen. We're not even without speaking it. If you don't murder, if you don't murder someone, you say, oh, I'm not a murderer. But if you have hatred in your heart, it's sin. Right? And Jesus was speaking of the heart issue. That whatever you say should be of your heart. It should be truthful. You don't have to swear to make a guarantee for others to know what you're saying is true. Let it be truthful from your heart. Amen. And it's the heart that Christ wants to deal with. Not the physical aspect of it, but the inward, the inside part. Because whatever is in the inside comes out. See, oath is about speaking the truth. You give it a solemn promise to indicate that you are telling the truth. And like I said earlier, you go to the court, you say, you are speaking the truth and nothing but the truth. And the idea is that your word alone does not have enough weight to prove itself. That's why you swear. I have to swear in order to, for you to know what I'm saying is true, right? But Jesus is saying that you don't need to add a higher authority to your swearing to prove what you are saying is true. Speaking truthfully without adding on anything. And that's the problem the religious leaders were doing. They kind of brought these oaths and laws and things, but the laws were governed in the children of Israel during the Moses' day in the Old Testament, was to govern the children of Israel in doing the right thing. It wasn't an individual thing that God gave the law, but the religious leader turned it to an individual thing. Amen? God is not against oath. Remember in the book of Genesis, Abraham, when he was dying, he called one of his chief servants. He said, I want you to swear to God, swear by my death, that when I die, you will not take a wife from my son Isaac among these Canaanites, but you will go back to my home and get him a wife. And our servant had to swear that he would do exactly that Abraham had asked of him. So that servant, Abraham wanted him to make sure that he did the right thing after he had passed away. So oath was not wrong. But like we said, the religious leader had it differently. Look in verse 34. Jesus said, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is what? God's throne. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. You know, when I read that Bible, it came to me, I said, God, hold on a break. Because today our women get black hair, gray hair, blue hair, green hair. So they kind of went behind God and said, you know, Lord, you talking about we get me black hair or white hair? Well, we're going to show you that we can do black hair or white hair. But he answers what God is saying, even though you can dark your hair white, you can dark your blue, it's not going to remain permanent. After a certain time, those dark colors are going to go away. That means you don't even have the power, the authority to even change your hair color to remain forever. So Jesus kind of he's telling the religious leader, because they were changing the language so they could swear by the living God. So Jesus is destroying the idea. He said, oh, now you want to swear by heaven. You think that's going to keep God out of it? No. Even if you swear by heaven, God is still involved, because what? Heaven is his throne. Even if you swear by earth, you're not keeping God out. God is still involved, because what? Earth is his footstool. And you want to what? Swear to Jerusalem? No, don't do that even. Because why? Jerusalem is the city of the king. So why go on swearing? Why go on swearing? And the word said, you want to swear by your own head. Who do you think you are? You can't even make one hair black or white. So why swear? Church, Jesus is saying that nothing you say or nothing or whatever space you create, you can keep God out of it. You cannot keep God out of it. Guess what? He is above. He is in all. There is no fence you can put around that God can't jump into the middle and meet them. So he tells the religious leader, don't swear by heaven, don't swear by earth, don't swear by Jerusalem, don't swear by even your head, because everything involves God. You know, they don't want to swear directly to God, but they use object. They use a heaven. Oh, God is not there. They use earth. Oh, God, you can swear on earth. It means nothing.
You can even swear by your head. It means nothing.
Jesus said, no. You're trying to take God out of it. But truly, you cannot get rid of God. Because he's in everything.
Like we said, God actually allowed in Deuteronomy chapter 10, it tells us that God said, you shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall what? Serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. That was in the Old Testament. And Jesus reminded them, said, yes, God allowed that. But because our religious leader tried to change everything. The problem is that God knows that we are sinners. And he knew that the children of Israel, like I said, were sinners. So he wanted people to be separated, to be distinct, to be different from the nations around them, and to always speak the truth. And so God encouraged his people to take hold in his name. But what is interesting was that he said, if you take this oath, you better fulfill it. Don't take it and don't fulfill it. And we see in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, he says that, and you shall not swear, I think I have that already said, but you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. So Christ is saying, whatever you do, it should be true and good. Because why? He sees everything. Heaven is his throne. So if you swear by heaven, he sees it. He knows it. If you swear by earth, earth is his footstool. He knows it. You swear by your head, he knows more about you than you yourself. So don't do anything out of him. He said, whatever you say should be true and good. Look at it. But let your yes and your no, let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Let your yes be yes. If you say no, let your no be no. Because whatever you say should be true. God knows the truth. And that's why Jesus, he was telling the religious leader, he said, Jesus is teaching us that just about what it means in a way that we are structured in taking oaths. He said, and what he's getting down to is the character and the heart of God himself. What am I saying? Jesus is saying that let your yes be yes, and your no be no. God, based on his character, he's not a God who say yes today and come and say no tomorrow on the same thing that he says. He's a true God. If you go in the book of Matthew, about 56 times, Jesus mentioned the truth and the truth and the truth. Jesus thought, so, and then he comes and said, I am the truth. And no lie. So, ain't nothing else, but if he's trying to let us know that in order for you to live the truth and speak the truth, it has to come from your heart. It should be a heart issue. And it's the character of God to be true. And because God is true, God is not a liar. Who is the father of lies? He said, Satan is the father of lies. And God is the father of truth. Amen. So if you will say something, let your yes be yes and don't swear. Because he said, and whatever more that these, if you have additional thing to say, he says what? It's from the evil one. It's not of God. Because you start saying the wrong thing. You know, I was reading something that said, this article, and it said, JFK, one of the questions, but I forgot, but he said, out of JFK or Ronald Reagan said, if you don't have something to say, be quiet so people can respect you.
But don't say things, and then they find out your character, what you're saying is a lie, and then you lose the integrity in your character. Because you're not going to be respected anymore, because they're going to look at you as a liar. And that's why Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Nothing else. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible is filled with the verses. If we go in the book of Psalms, David said, Lord, remove from me the way of lying. In Psalm 120, he said, he who said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Psalm 56, David said, you destroy those who speak falsely. So it tells us that God is a God of truth. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that these six things that the Lord hates, right? And he said the seven is an abomination. And one of those things is what? A lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. So if you say yes, let your yes remain as yes. Let your integrity be credible. Meaning that your life is such a manner that people believe what you say and that your yes is yes. But let us look at why Jesus had a problem with the religious leaders. They misinterpret the idea of taking oath. Jesus said to them, before coming there, the Pharisees were teaching different kind of teaching that you didn't have to swear by the name of Jesus or the name of the Lord, but rather you can swear by heaven, swear by earth, swear by Jerusalem. You are not bound to anything. Not even if you swear by the Lord. So Jesus says, look in there, he said, woe to you, blind guides. Who said, whoever swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the goal of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. And in verse 17, says, fools and blind, for which is greater, the goal or the temple that sacrifices the goal? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing but whoever swears by the gift that is on it. He is obliged to perform it. And verse 19 says, fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sacrifices the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. Verse 22, he said, 21, he said, he who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. You see what Jesus is saying? The religious leader tried to get God out of the picture. Swear, you don't have to swear using the name of God. You can swear by the goal. Don't swear by the temple. And Jesus said, the goal of the temple, which one is greater? It's the temple. If there's no temple, there's no goal. And you want to swear by the altar? You say, oh, we're going to swear by the altar. But not a gift. And Jesus said, hold on a minute. Without an altar, there's no gift. So in essence, Jesus is saying that everything matters when it comes to your word to God. You have to be truthful because God is involved in all of these things. You can swear and leave God out of heaven. You can swear and leave God out of earth. You can swear and leave God out of the temple. You can swear and leave God out of Jerusalem. It's his city. He owns it. And that was the problem with the religious leader. And Jesus made them to understand, no, it's wrong. And today we, folks, like I said, we swear for common.
telling the truth. You know, I was listening to this fellow. He said, when someone tell you, say, oh, be here, so and so, don't tell them, oh, I'll be there. What time? 10 o'clock? I'll be there 10 o'clock. Because you don't know what's going to happen. He said he had a problem. He was mowing his lawn, and his wife called. The kids went to the game, and his wife called and said, oh, can you get some burger on your way? He said, from his house to where they were playing the game was like 20 minutes, right? And he said, okay, I'm going to be there within 15 minutes. And his wife said, can you make it in about 10 minutes? He looked at it and said, okay, no, let's make it 15 minutes. He went, bought a burger, everything. On his way, he got stuck in the traffic. And when he got there, the game was over, everything was done, and nobody was there. And his daughter was mad and said, Daddy, you said you were going to be here in 15 minutes. Why do you come in 15 minutes? And he said, you know what? I should have said, maybe I'll see you tomorrow. He said, that would have solved the problem. So my daughter won't say I'm a liar. And sometimes we got to say white lies, right? Right? So this is white lies. I don't know which one is yellow lie or black lie or white lie. I don't know the difference. But I know that lie is a lie. So in order, if you want to say yes, say yes. If you're not going to make it, I don't want to promise you, but I try. And if you can't make it there, oh, you try. Amen? But the religious leaders, what am I trying to get around? Jesus tell them when it came to oath taking, don't make oaths. Because whatever you say is involved God. You're never going to leave God out of the picture. You can use objects, you can use anything. It's still God, is still involved. So say the truth and let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Amen? Amen. And as Jesus continued to teach, Jesus went on another topic which was really huge. Retaliation. How many of us? I'm going to pay my debt. I'm going to get you. What you did to me, I'm not going to forget. We said that some time ago, right? Sometimes when you and I even said, you might have said that. I know I said it. But here's the thing. The religious leader kind of took retaliation differently. So I want us to go back to the Old Testament. What God says about it. God, the Old Testament talk about justice. Talk about punishment. And in the book of Exodus chapter 21, God spoke to Moses, and Moses talked about that. We're going to take a look at that. It talks about crime that faced the punishment. It talks about a personal revenge. God is not interested in your personal revenge. Leave it to the justice. They're going to handle it in the Old Testament. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. But sometimes we say, God, you wasted too long. I'm going to repay for myself. But let's see what happened. In there, Jesus addressed the matter of personal retribution. He says that when things go wrong, the religious leader had different interpretation when it came to how to respond to retaliation, how to behave, how to act. And mind you, they use the same old scripture to carry on. So what Jesus is saying, that he says that, do not retaliate against what? Evil, violent. And we're going to see what he said. Let grace abound even more. Be willing to go the extra mile. Help those in need. That's what Jesus said. Let's look at verse 38 of Matthew chapter 5. He said, do not retaliate against evil violence. He said, if you He said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth. If we were doing that today, we won't have no tooth in our mouth. Because if someone did something, love to do that, or take your eyes off. That was the religious leader in the New Testament was saying, an eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth. Oh yes, if you did this, you're going to be punished according to that. But Jesus is saying that. But whoever, he said, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you in your right cheek, turn the other. It's hard. I agree with you. It's hard. But this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus took this directly from the Old Testament law. He said, but I tell you, resist. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn also on the right, on the left. Now the religious leader actually took this good and helpful law of God and twisted it. And mingle it so that it can harm the next person. It can harm the next brother. But that wasn't why the law was given. The law was given in the Old Testament so that the children of Israel would not go against and do things their own way, personally, not to get involved in harming each other, but to guide them in a system that the entire community, that they will know that there is law and order. But the religious leader took it differently. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, and here, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If someone walked to you and slapped you in the right cheek, say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And yet, say, yes, my left cheek, slap it. Now, what Jesus is saying, he's not saying that, oh, allow someone to walk over you because you are a Christian, or allow this to happen. But what Jesus is saying, he wants the heart of forgiveness. Not to pay back because this brother did this to me, so I'm going to pay. He's going to pay for it. That which you did for me, you're going to pay. Woo! You're going to pay. Jesus saying, no. Let mercy take its course. Forgive them. Can you imagine Jesus? What happened? But before that, I want us to understand that. You see, when we speak about righteousness, it doesn't come to us when people forgive or overlook the offense that is done to them. Righteousness doesn't come if you overlook the offense or whatever someone did to you, or when you are persecuted for being wrong. No. It comes when you have the heart to realize that Jesus Christ went through. He was insulted. He was called a drunk. He was called a blasphemer. He was called a madman. But guess what he did? He allowed all the insults spoken to him, and he did not retaliate. Instead, he says, Father, that's why Christ won. And that's why Jesus was telling the religious leader, instead of retaliating, learn to forgive. Amen? Amen? He said, in verse 40, he said, let grace abound even more. Instead of making your neighbor an adversary, instead of making your friend your enemy, Jesus is saying that, don't give them the
opportunity to look down on you and you carry that burden. He said, go the extra mile. Give them grace. Go the extra, do good measure. And guess what? You are not giving them control over you when you do that. You are taking that power from them. Because they become foolish for what they are doing. While you are moving forward, rejoicing and giving God a praise. And while they're thinking and wondering what is going on. That's what God is saying. Christ is suggesting, he's not suggesting that, oh yes, okay, this happened, let me throw, let me go to the bank and take my money and give to that person because they did this to me. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that. But the principal idea is to protect your heart from being bitter, from being angry. Jesus is saying here that I would rather suffer loss of property than suffer the effect of retaliation. That's why I'm saying, I would rather obey God than to retaliate and go with that burden. He said, it's better to go with an empty possession than to be full with bitterness. That way we are guarding our heart against anger and bitterness. Because if you cannot forgive, you continue to retaliate. The moment you see that person, your blood, your heart is just pounding on it. But Jesus said, go the extra mile. And look what he said in verse 40. He said, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, he said, let me have your cloak also. In essence, we want to combine the next one. He said, be willing to go the extra mile in for the one. Go the extra mile. He said, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And what was the purpose of that? You know, during Jesus' ministry, the Roman Empire was the ruling folks in the ancient world. And they ruled over all the nations around them. And Israel was one of those nations that were affected, were being ruled by the Romans. So a Roman soldier can come to you and tell you, say, take his supply, and you ought to obey and take that supply. Now the rule here is that you can take that supply for only 1 mile. You're not obligated to go additional mile. That was the rule. You're not, they can force you to go additional mile. It against the Romans' law. But Jesus is saying, even though you're not obligated to go another mile, go another mile. In essence, he said, don't take it at heart and say, oh, you did it to me, so I'm going to hit or I'm going to come back at you. No. Go another mile, being gracious, being grateful to whoever that did wrong to you. And that's why he's saying, he says that. But it's difficult, right? Here's the thing. In our flesh, we want to settle scores. In our flesh, we want to pay back. In our flesh, we want to make sure nobody takes advantage of us. Right? That's what the flesh wants. But Jesus is saying that, forget about what the flesh wants. What the heart wants is to obey God. Not to retaliate. Not to take it against the brethren. Because the religious leader was like, if someone do this to you, they went by the Old Testament, an eye for an eye. So you're going to be punished for the exact thing you did. But Jesus is saying, no. It should not be done. It should be from your heart. You see, we go to great length to protect ourselves and bring vengeance on somebody who wronged us. We go to rent. But Jesus is saying, I want you to be better than that. I want you to be above that. I want you to go the extra mile. I want to guard your heart against bitterness. I want you to do something out
else. Love.
Because if you do that, guess what? It disarms them from having power and control over your life. It controls. You take control over them. You're not worried about them. They're thinking about you. But you going forward. And while they still stand there, worrying about them. You see, Christ wants us to do these things as a way of honoring him. And in a process when we honor Christ in doing these things, what happens is that it protects our heart from being resentful. It protects our heart from being bitter towards others. That's what Christ wants. So as we come to close, what can we do? I could end close to the Bible and say we understand what Jesus said, because everything that Christ says is a complete application to how we can go about living. When it comes to oath keeping, you don't have to say extra things. You don't have to swear by God. You don't have to swear by heaven or earth. You don't have to swear by anything. He said, be consistent and speak the truth. When it comes to retaliation, remember Christ as a follower. You are a follower of Christ. When Christ was being tortured, he was being humiliated. And everything he went through, he never retaliated. He went through it. Even when in the garden, when Peter took his sword and slashed a soldier's ear up, what Jesus said? He said, don't you think I have the power to call legions of angels to come down and fight for me? I don't need you to fight for me. And that's what God wants from us. Even though religious leaders have everything wrong, but today, you may have your neighbor that you don't even speak to because probably they drove a car on your lawn and you're angry about that. You may have a family member who you don't even talk to. You're angry with them. It's in your heart. You're bitter because they said certain things about you. You may have even your kids. They're grown up. You're angry because they didn't obey you. You want them to go to do this career to become a doctor, and they chose their own career path. You're angry with them. And you say, you're not my son. You're not my daughter. You don't want to have a relationship with them. And Jesus is saying, that should not be you. Accept them. And Jesus is saying, the life of the cross is a rewarded life. The life of the cross, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You don't have to hold it against anyone. You don't have to retaliate against anyone. Accept it and live peacefully in your own heart. Do not pay evil for evil. Do not pay anything, because God said, vengeance is what? Mine. And I will what? Repay. Now, God may not repay the way you want that person to suffer it. It's none of your business. Let God handle it. And you live at peace with God. And God will see you through. Amen. Amen. Father, we want to thank you this afternoon. We thank you for your word. We pray, Father, that you would just guard our hearts. And even as we live daily, oh God, that we would just seek you. And know, oh God, that you want our heart to be peaceful and loving to each other. And that we will recognize your greatness and love each other